Brother Stacy's bringing candy up here, so y'all might want to get up here a little closer so when he starts throwing it.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit here for sure. Probably need to hide it down here. My mind was all looking at that. I would be to a no totally. But I always look forward to this opportunity. Is this on, Brother David? Is it all good? Okay, sounds like it. Sounds like it is. Got it right. I always look forward to the opportunity to open up God's Word and share from it. And I hope that this is one that I've been in my mind thinking about. The next opportunity that's presented to me, to have the chance to stand up, this would just be one that I felt like would be, a good thing to share. I just pray the Lord will use it tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you're going to be in Colossians, in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3, while you're finding Colossians chapter 3, it's a book of the Bible that the Apostle Paul, God used the Apostle Paul in the writing of this book here. And I'm gonna bring you a lesson tonight that I've entitled, How to Make Something Good Even Better. How to make something good even be better. I think all of us would desire to know, and I think the Bible has a real key here to what I'm trying to say with that title, okay? So if you're not there, it's in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Lord of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then one other verse, and we'll get started. It is a couple pages forward, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Should be just a couple pages from where you're at. But that verse there says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, as I think about this, Paul's talking about, he said, I want to talk to you that are the elite. You that are the elite, that really trust in God, that love God. And he's calling the people he's writing to here, he's saying the elite. So I think he's talking to a good group, a crowd that I could say they're in a good spot, they're in a good relationship with God. He says, you are the elite, okay? But he goes on here, and I believe he points out something. He says, okay, as being the elite, I want to show you how to make something good even better. How to improve on it. How to make it better. Okay? And so, verse 15, the last part, it says there, and be ye thankful. It uses that phrase. And then verse 17, at the last part of that verse, it says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So I believe one of the keys trying to teach me is, I just need to be thankful to my Lord and to my God. I need to be thankful. I need to be thankful to him. But only that, like my mom and dad, I had some good parents. And if I'm thankful to them, I improve my relationship with them by being truly thankful, by showing thankfulness and by showing appreciation and truly in your heart being thankful, you improve something that's already good, Let me show you an illustration. I work with the kids, and I want to show you an illustration. I want to keep this for me, and it's a major mess. So I'm going to need you to use your imagination for one part of it here now. I'm going to need you to put on that little imagination, because I need you to imagine with me, you're going up to an ice cream bar with this soft serve ice cream machine, okay? And you pull that thing out, you know, get that handle, and you pull that thing, and it pours out all this delightful, you know, ice cream to put into like a cup here. And it comes out in this cup, and I would say, I hope you agree with me, that thing gets full of that ice cream, and it gets on there, it's something good. It's something that is good, you know? But you know, it can be made better. It's good, but it can be made better than good. You go to that bar, man, and you get out some Butterfingers, man, to put on top of that soft curd ice cream, you know? Or you dip in there, hey, give me some pecans, and let me dip that onto the top of that. Or here, how about some of this? Or some of these Reese's Pieces. But what I'm saying is, though, you can just pile this up and be making something good better. Well, I believe God's trying to say, as Christians, we have something good. We have something real good. We have a Savior who's died for us and rose again. Like, I mean, he placed us and adopted his family. We have something good. But we can make that good better by being thankful, by just being thankful, by being truly and sincerely thankful, having a thankful heart, praying a prayer of thanksgiving to him, just being thankful. I think he's saying, hey, that's how you take something that already is good and make it much, much better, you know? William Flesh, when the fleshly body, we're going to be in it. The battle's there. It's here. No matter how it will end, win this body and this flesh. And something that happens is God blesses us. And he blesses, I don't know if it was me, it's happened with me. He blesses and he gives and he does it. And then all of a sudden, it's like I get in a comfortable spot. Or I begin to think, man, look what's happened and what good has happened. And the thankfulness goes aside. I'm not thinking about thankfulness. And what can sneak in is that old ugly thing called pride. You know, Proverbs 16, verse 18. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read you. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then in Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. And it starts off in verse 17, a proud look. You know, I look at thankfulness here, it's kind of like an antidote to pride. You know, it's an antidote. It's a cure for having a haughty spirit. If we develop truly to be thankful, I think it helps. It's like those, I don't know what you call those pins, that people are allergic to something and they carry a pin thing and they stick it, they get some kind of allergic reaction happens and they stick in and get the sudden medicine that happens. I think that's what God's trying to teach us thankfulness is. It's to fight against pride. It's to help overcome the pride that comes in our life. And it says that he says, hey, you know, this is what I want to give you. This chance be to overcome that comes in our life. So I want to share with you a thankful event in my life. To me, I hope you don't think about something in your life. When I say these, it's to me, it's just something special to me, but everybody has a so special thing to you. But a thankfulness thing, how to make something good even better is the main thought. I shared this little thing I'm going to tell you. I shared it with a dear lady friend of mine. I went to church for many years. She worked with me. We served together at going to nursing homes. She played the piano and she sang specials and I brought the messages. And we, for about 15 years there, we went to about four nursing homes a week to different places we had the opportunity to get into. And she's just such a dear saint. And she was gifted about writing poems. She had a real good gift about writing poems. And I've kept up with her and she's just such a special friend to us. And last September, she wanted me to come. She got a hold of me and said she wanted to know my son Bryce's address at his college. She's at Heartland Baptist Bible College. She wanted to know she wanted to write him and she wanted to get him, you know, keep in touch to him. So we went by our house and I shared with her, just talking to her, this little testimony. And from telling her this little testimony, she wrote a poem about it. She wrote a poem about the testimony, and I got a Christmas card from her. She didn't tell me she had done it, nothing. We got a Christmas card, and every year I do. I get a Christmas card from her, and it has poems that she and her husband's good to, that they've written, you know, and stuff, and we always look forward to it. It's a real specially made little card, and we get that every year. And my wife was reading through them and stuff, and she goes, hey, Stacy, you need to read this one. And it was a poem about this little story, okay? And what it is that I got married, kind of, it was kind of getting late in life, and I was in my 40s, right in my 40s, and met my wife, Deborah, and we had God bless us, with a son. And I remember praying that up from the time I first knew was under the son, that, Lord, let him be kind and compassionate. Let him have a caring heart about him. And Lord, if you'll use him, please use him. And I prayed that prayer faithfully and never stopped every day. Prayed that prayer. Well, I remember this story. He was 5 years old. My son Bryce was 5 years old, and we were knocking doors on the visitation of my church bus route. We were just going up, seeing signs where people look like kids with the house, the yards, and the playground. We go and knock on the door and hand out little papers about our bus route and invite them about if they could go. Well, my boy was 5, and he was with me. We went up and knocked on his door. This lady kind of cracked the door open, and I told her, hey, I'm from the church I'm from, and what we were doing. I did tell her, we're here visiting our Sunday school bus. And she just went, we're not interested. And she went to shut the door. Well, you're used to that. I know I'm invading on their property and all this stuff, you know. But here's something I didn't know was going to happen here. She went to shut the door, and my son Bryce stuck his foot right in the door. He stuck his foot in the door, got between the door there, you know. And she couldn't shut the door. He looked up at her. He said, ma'am, my dad just wants to tell you about Jesus. Like that to her, you know. And she opened that door back up. I got the chance to tell her about the Lord. This is the honest truth now. About 3 months later, I figured it out. From that one open door, she had 6 kids in her house that, you know, she raised in her house. Next door lived her sister that had 5 more. And across the road was the best friends of these kids that had 5 at this house. And then they had cousins that lived over across the town that came and spent the night a couple weeks later, and they're going to ride another. Do you know within 3 months, I counted 30 people coming in on our Sunday school buses because of that one door. Because of that one door. With a little foot stuck into the door, you know. God knew God did that, and I've been thankful to God. Thank you. And He's called my son into the ministry, you know. I just God, he's God's done that. You know what he's done. Well, this dear friend lady of mine, this Miss Sam, she wrote this poem, and it said, "A little child shall lead them. The preacher and his young son walked side by side in the noonday sun." They were looking to share the good news of the word. They would not stop until the mission was done. The son was so very proud of his dad. He was so tall and so very strong. And every faithful servant of the Lord, in his eyes, his dad would never do wrong. The woman who answered the knock was less than gracious, we could say. She tried to slam the door without a word, but there seemed to be a small foot wedged in the way. "My dad just wants to tell you about Jesus," the young boy proudly declared. "Don't you want to hear? Be nice and listen." The woman simply opened the door and stared. What could she say to such a request from one so young and earnest in his task? The woman and her family did hear about Jesus that day. They all found you can be saved. All you must have to do is ask. What an example for us to follow. This one small footprint should lead our way. Be faithful, be courageous, share the joy we have, for someone is waiting to hear the word today. Amen. You know, what a, putting it to a poem, you know, what a meaning to it, you know. But what I'm trying to share with all that is I'm thankful. I'm thankful to my God. I'm thankful to my Lord for what he's done, you know, what he's doing. I'm thankful. And I want to see, that God, let me always keep that thankfulness, because you give me something so good, but I always want to make it better. Amen. And it can be made better if we're thankful. I believe that's the key. I believe that's the whole key, is being thankful for our Lord. And like I said, that goes with our God, but our relationships, our kids, our parents, anyway, just being thankful.
So let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Maybe encourage you, be back in your place on Sunday, invite somebody, bring them with you. I had a good crowd last week, and it's a good time of the year to get somebody to come to go to church with you. And so don't forget Brother Joey Bacon will be preaching for us. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Dwayne, you'll pray for us, please.